Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley! And he is coming to Washington!
Oh, great crossover.
Got him.
Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans. Covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of the DC Crossover. I'm Ben Simpson. That is Mike Cerrone. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the show. Of course, you can follow the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover for the main show account and at Cerrone16 for Michael. And you can follow the TikTok account, the DC Crossover Podcast, DC Crossover Podcast. There's no the in it, right? Oh, just DC
one of these days,
Crossover.
One of these days you'll get it.
Podcast.
At DC Crossover Podcast, which is...
There it is.
Doing pretty well. Hey, we're getting a lot of likes now on every single post, which I'm kind of shocked about. But I'm making sure that we have like decent videos up there, because before I was like kind of just putting up like a funny take here or there or something like that.
Right,
but
right.
I'm trying to make sure that like we have some real, real good bits on there. My smart drinking thing, people were liking that.
You're doing good.
I was shocked about the TikTok
for sure. And actually, right here at the top of the show, we have a special guest to join us on the show right now, special guest to talk about season 2 of Bird's Eye View. We have with us Erica McCall. Erica, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yes,
what's up,
we're
Erica?
So glad to have you. And, we just wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about season 2 of Bird's Eye View, True Stories of Professional Basketball. Of course, fans of this show remember season 1 of the show, where 8 episodes kind of covered all these different aspects of overseas hoops, from the food to, long distance love to like all these different themes. And now here with season 2, you're kind of doing things a little bit differently. The focus is not just on international basketball, but basketball as a whole. Talk a little bit about that as far as kind of like the approach for season 2 here.
Yeah. So, I mean, season 1 was super successful. Shout out to you guys producing the show, helping me get it, the first season off the ground, and just having a really, really good, successful first season and encouraging me to want to continue to do the second season. But thinking forward, I just kind of want to open it up more. We talked a lot too, like about how much we can talk about overseas, and there's a lot of different topics out there, but I think just opening up to, now that we have more fans and You know, they want to hear a lot more about, you know, the league and stuff. I just wanted to be able to communicate that and educate them even more on what we have to go through as professional basketball players in the league overseas. And, you know, there's a new league now called Athletes Unlimited that's being played in January of the year. And so that was a really big league. And so I think fans would want to hear more about, you know, outside of the overseas and just really what the all-encompassing professional basketball players experience is like.
So talk first off, how are you doing? I know, you know, you were, you know, banged up a little bit injury wise. And then, you know, I know, you know, the Mystics unfortunately had to part ways with you. So talk about, you know, how are you feeling right now? How are you doing? Let the people know.
Yeah. So I'm back at home still in Bakersfield, California, still trying to heal and get my body right. It's been a hectic experience, really just kind of everything is kind of in limbo in terms of me just finding answers, you know, what's wrong, you know, with my body. And so I'm still at home, still resting. Seems like I'll be here a bit more longer than I expected, but honestly have no issues with it. I mean, of course I miss playing in the league and it's tough to watch. I probably watch more WNBA in my life being out than actually playing in the game. But it's been really fun for me to be home with the family and be able to, you know, just experience things I don't usually get to experience, like going out to eat, you know, just going out to eat with my family at a restaurant. You know, it's just things I never get to happen. And you know, me being able to experience that has been really cool for me.
Yeah, you've been on your live, you know, game tweeting game. I know that. I've been seeing, you know, if you want to keep up on what's going on in WNBA games, Erica gives some great takes on Twitter. She'll give the reactions, you know, things like that. Like, how is that a foul? You know, she's talking, she's talking it up a little bit on Twitter. So she's a great follow for that. And yeah, so as far as this WNBA season, for those who maybe like aren't paying super close attention yet, I know the season just kind of got underway. Are there, besides, of course, hopefully the Mystics making a run at this thing, are there any teams that you have your, I know Chicago's always tends to be pretty good. Are there any other teams you have your eye on as far as possible, like championship contenders? I know your sister moved on to a new team, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say her team, the Connecticut Sun, are looking really strong this year. They've brought everyone back from last year and added an additional player in Courtney Williams, who was with Atlanta, and she was originally with the Connecticut Sun. So and now they've added my sister all into the mix of this group that was just so successful in the previous years. And so I think that this may be the year that it just all clicks for them. They'll be able to, you know, go on to the finals and just execute. And so they're a really exciting team, just a team of veterans that love playing together. So they're a team to watch out for sure.
Nice. And then as far as your show, of course, everybody can check out, you know, the first episode that dropped last week. And then we're going to have episode 2 drop here this week of the show. Again, Bird's Eye View. Are there any you know, guests that are on your like bucket list for the podcast? Like, man, I mean, obviously I feel like there's obviously some big names out there like Taurasi and things like that, like some of those bigger names in the scene. Who are some of your like, hey, long shot, I would love if I was able to get this person on the show?
I mean, DT is absolutely, you know, the number one person on my bucket list. I'm hoping, you know, I know her. She was my sister's teammate for 10 years. So I've been knowing her since really I was a high schooler. So even when I played against her, you know, we all know DT is a ferocious player and she doesn't take it easy on anyone. You know,
Who did she get into it the other day? Like, I remember seeing something. Like, yeah, I saw that. I was like, whoa. Okay.
This time it was her own teammate. So, you know, DT doesn't back down from anyone. And so, but with me, you know, she always kind of took it easy on me. You know, if I fell down or anything, you know, usually she might walk over you or something, but she'd lend out a helping hand, you know, for me to get up. And so I'm hoping with that relationship, you know, that she had with my sister, along with some other, you know, contacts that I have, hopefully I can get her in for an interview. She's like the absolute number one. Another person I would love to have is Asia Wilson. Super entertaining. I played against her at my senior in college in the semifinals game of the Final Four. And she's just an amazing player. I always thought that she was a super cool person. I don't know her personally, but I love her personality. I love what she represents for the league and just who she is as a person. So I would love to have Asia Wilson on.
You know, Erica, one of the big things that I was just actually thinking about was I think there would be a nice episode if you had somebody on as well to talk about contract disputes, contract, you know, talks, all that kind of stuff, because especially here in DC, you know, we have a lot of contract talks about multiple players, mostly for the Nats, for instance. You know, when they say, oh, they can't pay this person, and they're like, oh, well, we offered this, we offered that. You know, they go back and forth. You never know really what the inside information is. So I think, honestly, maybe either this season or the future, or whatever it may be, that might be a good episode, is what goes in to, like, what's inside, like the fly on the wall type bit for the contract talks. Because obviously you're not going to give away, you know, the fine print of all the contract stuff. But, you know, I don't know if, like, you're always, for instance, in those meetings, or it's just your agent talking to this and that. I mean, because I think, for instance, that, you know, the player, for the most part, tells their agent, like, hey, I think this is what I'm worth. And then the agent goes out there and does all their things. But I don't know. I don't know if you would be interested in doing something like that, because I think that would actually be really interesting, in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of information right there that you could peel out for everybody.
It's funny you mentioned this, Mike, because that's my next episode. I yes. promise listeners that we did not discuss this beforehand to try to promote the episode. I was like,
perfect.
Me and Ben talk. I was like, did I talk to Ben about this? And did I talk to
Mike? Hey, I only listen to the stuff when it comes out. I don't give Mike the inside scoop.
I tell him, hey, you got to download it just like everybody else. That's what I tell Mike.
So, yeah. So, actually, fans were going crazy trying to figure out the CBA, which is, you know, essentially the format, the rules, everything that goes into what WNBA players can do and what the league can do, and how they control everything. And fans were, like, literally looking it up, like, online, trying to figure out what the CBA meant. And so I was like, hey, I think it'd be a really cool idea for me to try to break that down. And so we're bringing on my agent, Mike Cown. He's just super knowledgeable about all this type of stuff. And someone asked me, like, hey, can you give me a breakdown of CBA? I'm like, I have to ask for a breakdown from my agent, you know, the spark notes from him. And so essentially he'll be coming on, and we're just going to do a Q&A. And so for fans who would love to ask questions about what's going on, you can tweet me at @OneBirdsEyeView on Twitter, hashtag #BirdsEyeViewPod, and just ask whatever you want about the CBA overseas, anything about players, any questions you have that you want to know from an agent, or just be, you know, a fly on how all these conversations work, tweet me, and we're going to try to answer as many questions as we can in this pod. It might be a little longer because he's a little long-winded. He can get
so am I.
Very passionate about his answers.
Yeah. So is my co-host there.
But it'll be really fun. It'll be really fun, and it's going to be very informative. I think a lot of people will enjoy, and, you know, at least, you know, be educated on, you know, how all this works, because every day I learn something new about the CBA. So I think it's going to be a fun episode.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things, like, all fans, they wanted to learn about it, but they don't want to take the time and, like, dig into the details. And so to have somebody kind of relay that information is crucial. It's crucial. So be sure, everybody listens to this show, you already know, you got to go download Bird's Eye View. Again, season 2 has started. Episode 1 came out last week. Episode 2 will be this week. Again, it's every Wednesday morning. And Erica does an awesome job with the show. And season 1 is all there as well. If you want to go back and listen to any of those episodes, it was a fantastic season. So definitely check all that out. And like Erica said, you can follow the show on Twitter at @OneBirdsEyeView. You can also follow Erica's account at @Birds_24. Erica, we're looking forward to more and more episodes of the show, and we'll definitely have you on again to talk more about, you know, when big episodes drop and things like that. And, you know, you're doing an awesome job. The show's great. So we're super happy you could stop by.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. You know, when we did the Diana, the episode, you know, I'll definitely hop on the show. We can talk all about that.
All right. Perfect.
Erica, last thing I wanted to ask you is, you got any TikTok tips?
TikTok tips. You know, I'm still trying to get TikTok tips from the kids these days. You know, it's just hard for me to get on, you know, and I keep getting followers on my page and everything, but I was like, I don't know these dances. You know, I think my peak was, I was telling a friend, I think my peak, you know, was the Dougie, and it just kind of stopped there. That was like 2012, you know, era, and that just kind of stopped from there. So now all these new dances that they have, the footwork, the movement, I say just be yourself. Be yourself.
There you go, Mike. Just be yourself, Mike.
We'll find it funny or whatever it is that it may be.
Yeah. A lot of the videos that we share are just, like, you know, little teasers and everything like that. And I don't think my knees could handle any of the dances anymore. So I've had two major knee surgeries from athletic injuries. So if I did those, I think they might break. So I try to stay away from those and just stay behind a mic.
No, I understand. I did try to do a dance. I probably was trying to learn it for about an hour. Had to, you know, the next day I practiced, my bones were aching, just trying to figure out, you know, all the footwork and everything. So we're old. In the same boat.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by, Erica. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. See
you. See you later.
That was Erica McCall from Bird's Eye View podcast. Just wanted to bring her on to talk a little bit about season two. Again, you can go listen for yourself. We'll link it in the description of this video. And Mike and I are producers of that podcast. That is a DC crossover production. It even says so on the logo for their show.
Production.
So if you support you support us, you got to go support Bird's Eye View with Erica McCall. She does an awesome job. Lot to talk about on the show today. So let's dive into the rewind, because we do have a special seltzer review coming up later from Michael. We also got to talk a little bit about this Commanders news with the Snyder stuff and the stadium stuff, the Wiz draft lottery. That's going to take a lot of the time on this episode, because we obviously talked to Erica. So let's dive into the rewind first. A chance to recap a little bit of, if the darn thing will play. There we go. A chance to recap the previous week in DC sports, and there's really only a couple teams to talk about, and one of them is the Washington Nationals. And Mike, for the Nats this year, it seems to just be like, they win one game every series, pretty much. It's like these three-game series, they'll get one nice game, and then they'll lose the other couple, and that's just how it's going to be all season long. They are now 14-28, fifth place, last place in the NL East. Monday, lost to Miami 8-2. Sandy Alcantara, who's one of my favorite non-Nats pitchers, he's just filthy. Eight innings, one earned run, five Ks against the Nats. Just absolutely smoked them. Sanchez gets the loss for the Nats. 3 2/3, four earned runs in the game. Soto 0 for 4. Nats lose 8-2. Tuesday, lose again to the Marlins 5-1. Yoana Doan pitched okay. 4 2/3, allowed one earned run. Josh Bell sacked fly in the eighth, but the Nats lose again. Wednesday, though, they got their one win a series. This is what they do. Big extra inning win, too. 10 innings as Keibert Ruiz gets three hits in the game, including the go-ahead double in the 10th. And Cesar Hernandez had a nice game, 2 for 5 with an RBI. 5-4 Nats win. And then the next series of the week, the weekend series against the Brewers, got smoked on Friday, lost 7-0. But the Nats did turn a triple play in this game, which is actually kind of cool for a season that sucks. Austin Voth, later in the game, gave up 5 runs. His ERA right now for the season, 8.44. Love to see it. Saturday, another loss to the Brewers, 5-1. Patrick Corbin gives up 5 earned runs in 5 innings. Every time I tell you he's going to turn it around, games like this happen. Lane Thomas did homer in this one. Nats lose 5-1. And then Sunday, it's so weird. The Nats pull out games like this where they beat the Brewers 8-2. They score 8 runs on 14 hits. Soto with a couple RBI. And the Nats win their one game of the series there. Other just quick things. I mean, Wizards, Mike, get 10th pick in the draft. Did you watch the lottery?
You know what's funny is that I was so hyped for it, because it's kind of like one of those things that you kind of, for some reason, get hyped for, but it's not really that exciting, because the guy's sitting there and they always have that one guy. It's like, and he like smiles at you and he's like, the Orlando Magic. Like, you're just like, all right, dude, just you're creeping me out a little bit. By the way, real quick tidbit about the Nats. I think it's kind of funny, though, because they go out there and they score, you know, 8 or 9 runs, they win. And then the other games, they score 1, 2, get shut out.
Right.
It's pretty crazy. Right. But yeah, I honestly was going to watch the NBA draft, and then I forgot. Even though I was talking about it that day, I came home, took a nap, woke up, and totally forgot it was on. And then you guys
texted. It's hard. I mean, last year I was into it because, like, the Pistons had a really good chance of getting number one.
Yeah.
And so I watched, and I was hyped and all that stuff. Problem is like, they'll say, like, the draft lottery, just like with anything, it's like they'll say the draft lottery starts at 8 o'clock. And you know you're not finding out who the number one pick is till 8 50. Like, it's going to take an hour just to get to the final few picks and stuff. And they drag it out. There's so many commercial breaks. And it's like, so this year I was kind of the same deal. I just found out on Twitter. Like, you know, I just scrolled Twitter to see when they were announcing and that sort of thing. But I didn't watch it live this year at all. And then other quick note, DC United had a draw on Saturday. Gave up a goal in the 89th minute to Toronto FC, who's not great. This was kind of a tough one because this was an easy 3 points kind of in the bag. And then the final couple minutes, you give up the tying goal. Not great. Michael Estrada and Edison Flores scored. I watched most of this game. I didn't catch the end, so I didn't see the draw. I was like, when I stopped watching, I was like, all right, we got this. DC United ties there. But they're still in the mix. I believe they're 10th or 11th right now. So it's still early in the year. You still like what I'm seeing from them. I'll take draws. You don't want losses, obviously. That about does it for the rewind. We've got... Let's do the seltzer. Do you have the seltzer ready, Mike?
Yeah, have it ready.
Before we get into all the serious stuff, let's get the little this is, I know we use this for trivia as well, but this is good little review music here, because we talked about it last episode that we're gonna do the off season version of the show starting next week.
Yeah,
where we're gonna do more drafts and more fun food stuff and all that good stuff. So as we ease into the off season. The pre-off season here with this episode. One topic we talked about last week that we want to do is Mike's a seltzer king. They call him the Sultan of Seltzer. That's what they call you.
Wow.
And
who?
You know, he's here, the people. And so he's here to provide the people a seltzer review. So with that, I'll turn things over to the Sultan of Seltzer, Mike Cerrone.
So seltzers, I said it in one of our posts on TikTok at DC Crossover Podcast. You can go check that out. I did say on there my definition of smart drinking, which was you start with the hard stuff, you end with the seltzies. Obviously, you have like usually it's like 100 calories, 2 grams or less sugar. Nowadays, all of them have no sugar, which I have been perusing through. I started a couple weeks ago to go down the aisle at Total Wine & More, because they have a huge selection, and go and check out different types of seltzers than Truly Lemonade's, which is my favorite. So my all-time favorite is Truly Lemonade Mango. So this seltzer, as you can see on the YouTube or on TikTok, is...
True, this is a good reason to check out the YouTube channel, DC Crossover Podcast. Yeah.
This is Three Birds Hard Seltzer. I had one last week on the show. Didn't really review it, just drank it for other reasons. But this is a...
Three Birds Hard Seltzer. I'm just looking them up.
Yeah, look them up for me, because I don't know anything about them. Because it doesn't say their location here.
Three Birds. Okay, are you over 21? It's weird how to go to alcohol websites you have to say if you're over 21.
Right.
But I like how it's just like, yes. It's like, yes or no. It's like, right. Yeah. It's like, all right, you're good.
So the nutrition facts, obviously, 100 calories, like I said. 1 gram of sugar, 1 carb. So it's pretty much the same as a lot of the other ones nowadays. Because everyone's trying to do the same thing. It is gluten-free, so people can have that. Some natural juice, contains less than 1% juice, though, so it's not a lot of juice. This one I have is mango lemonade, so it's basically comparing to the Truly Lemonade mango, which is my all-time favorite. So I'll take a sip while you read some facts off.
Yeah, so the only thing that it says about Three Birds... Spread your wings and fly above the rest. Whether you're with friends at your nest or out soaring with the best, Three Birds Hard Seltzer has a flavor for your flock. With natural juices and just the right amount of fizz, you and your peeps are bound to have a flight you'll never forget.
Okay,
produced by
didn't ask for a poem here.
Levesque Wine, Beer, and Spirits, which is apparently one of the largest spirits producers in the world. So there you go. So Three Birds. All right, so we got to think about the rating system.
Okay,
so the rating system. Are you going to go out of 5 or are you going to go out of 10? What are you thinking here?
I'm going to go out of 10. I'm going to do a Portnoy type rating system. No rookie scores, obviously. We should keep track of this, too.
I'll write it down here.
So Three Birds.
Sultan of Seltzer Review.
Yeah.
This is Three Birds Hard seltzer, and what's the flavor?
Mango lemonade.
Okay.
Lemonade if you're lemonade. International.
Sure. Yeah, if you're an idiot. All right, lemonade. All right, here we go. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Do I have a drum roll? Hold on.
Oh, do you?
Problem is,
I'm going to take another sip while you find that drum roll.
Here. I do have a drum roll.
How long is the roll? Oh, there it is.
Here, that was a test. That was okay. All right? All right. You want me to do it one more time? All right. So the Sultan of Seltzer.
Here, hold on, hold on. I gotta give the.
Oh, okay.
It tastes pretty good. It's better than the other ones. I will say that I've had from the Birds. Yeah, I mean it's overall pretty solid. I would say.
Is it
not too sweet?
Fruity? Like, do you feel like so? Is it more alcohol forward or fruit forward
fruit,
or like what?
Fruity. Definitely has a flavor. It's not like straight alcohol or anything like that, which is good. It kind of makes you think like you're drinking flavored water, so that's
okay,
good.
Okay.
So that's good. I'm ready for the review.
All right. Here we go. The drum roll.
So the score is. I was waiting there for a little while. 7.6. 7.6.
7.6 is the score.
Oh, thanks, Craig.
7.6.
Now, is that a good thing from Craig, or is that I can't tell if he's being serious or not.
I think he's just happy. He's just a happy guy. 7.6 is a good score. Yeah. I mean, I feel like anybody would be happy to be in that.
It's a little bit above average, which average is, you could say, 7. 7's like an average, like median score, but 7.6, right, mainly for the sole fact that it's actually, like I said, it's a lot better than the other three birds that I had. I had the three birds. I think blueberry was like, but yeah. I'll have to get some more three birds and check them out. But overall, 7.6 is a pretty good score to start off with a Seltzy review for the off season.
So that's the Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade by the Sultan of Seltzer, 7.6 out of 10. There's your review. Now we'll move in to some football talk.
We are the Commanders.
So a couple things on the Commanders here recently, one of which was talked about today. There was the announcement that there's been some land. I don't know if it's been officially purchased or if it's almost officially purchased. Regardless, it sounded like there was some land down, down south from us for sure. Where was it? It was Prince William County.
Like Woodbridge or something.
It was kind of like the Woodbridge area. Basically all signs are pointing to, so Dumfries and Woodbridge were like the two areas, and this was like an ESPN article where the Commanders spent $100 million on land in Virginia for possible stadium. So they paid more than $100 million for 200 acres. The deal was completed last week, but has not yet been filed with Prince William County with the site of the land. And there's a chance the franchise will buy another 65 to 70 acres at a site that would be more in Woodbridge. And so now the interesting thing about this article was this section here, Mike, that I want us to talk about. So according to a source, their plans include a 60,000-seat domed stadium, as well as the team's practice facility, an amphitheater that seats between 15,000 and 20,000, a small indoor music arena, high-end retail shops, bars and restaurants, and residential living. The roof would be translucent and the stadium's facade could change colors. It would be white during the day, for example, and burgundy at night. So, I know, and we were talking about it on text, I know that there is definitely an argument to be made about the distance thing. And where the location, for sure. And you're not the only one not super happy about it. I mean, it seems like Twitter as a whole is pretty upset about this location. But one thing that I really liked there is what I read about the fact that it could possibly be where the team is kind of trying to make a little community here with the stadium. We're talking about music venues and restaurants and shops and all this stuff. That is good. I feel like that is what we've been asking for, because right now you've got a giant parking lot and like a TGI Fridays, 20 minutes away, you've got nothing going on in Landover right now. So I'm at least pleased by the fact that maybe the team is actually looking to create more of a community.
I will agree that I do think that they need to make this more of a spectacle than just putting a stadium down on a plot and running with it. So if they did it like that, that'd be cool, because the sole fact that I was talking to my barber the other day, and he used to live in New York, and he used to be a DJ, and he also said that, you know, because I asked him about the garden and everything like that, and he told me, he said, you know what, in between my shifts at the radio station or whatever, I'd be sitting there, and I'd go eat dinner at the garden, and then I'd watch the game, and then I'd leave. And I was like, wait a second, they got restaurants and stuff inside? He's like, yeah. He's like, the whole entire garden is like a spectacle on its own. So I was like thinking about it when you mentioned it earlier and whatnot. And yes, would I go? Probably not, for the most part, because the tickets are way too expensive. Then I have to get down there to Occoquan or wherever it's going to be. And then I have to spend $15 on a Michelob Ultra. At least, it's going to be cheaper than the PGA Championship, I'll tell you that. It was $19 for a Michelob Ultra. But I just think that when you're looking at the stadium, you got to do it right. You have to. Because all in all, the fans are already pissed off. If you go down there, where everyone's going to be pissed off no matter what, you're alienating the lone part of Maryland that we have as fans. They will migrate most likely to Baltimore and say, we're going to be Ravens fans. Plus, you're alienating a little bit of the D.C. side in general, because do D.C. fans, do Northern Virginia fans really want to travel down I-95 and get to this whole entire stadium? Now, I would say the homers would, the real fans would. I am a real fan. I'm a diehard fan. But at the same time, I hated going to FedEx. And that was even when the RG3 season was happening, where it was so much hype and all that kind of stuff. I still hated it. I had great tickets. I had the Week 17 tickets where they beat the Cowboys. But it's just something that you can't get it wrong. You just can't. Because, again, my vote would be put it on RFK's site. And we talked about it, 10 episodes ago. Put it on their site. Have the whole entire city, lit up and everything like that. Monday Night Football against the Cowboys or Eagles or Giants or whatever it may be. Have all this, have Audi Field, Nats Park, everything lit up, Washington Monument. But now it's like, now you're going down, you're going opposite direction. So you're way out in Maryland. Now you're going way out in Virginia. I just think that it's going to be troublesome, because I don't think there's a metro down there, and I don't think they're going to be building down there. Even if they did build down there, the Silver Line's still not open, and that's been ready to be open for, 2 years? So it's you're by that time, it's just going to be, I mean, I don't know. I do like the sole fact that you mentioned, okay, making it a little town or whatever you want to call it, but just having it that far out is going to be cementing a lot of people into either migrating to Baltimore for Ravens games or migrating to their couch and sitting there for a very long time, not attending the games in general. I would love to have a restaurant or something like that out there to maybe go down there, kind of like at the garden at MSG. I would like to do something like that, because it would be nice to go sit down, watch the game, get the ambiance of the crowd in the background where you can hear the game going on.
Oh, yeah, it would be sick.
But it's similar to the bullpen at Nats Park. You got something going on, but I just think that you have to do something right. And this is the only thing you got right so far, is trying to make a new stadium.
It's tough. Cause my guess is, going down to Woodbridge and that area, it's like, it's going to be your cheapest land and maybe the most abundance of land. And that's obviously why they're going down there versus, Loudoun County is pretty expensive. I'm sure that land, because you're fighting with all the big data centers and all these giant corporations that are putting stuff out in Loudoun County. And then in D.C., I'm sure it's very expensive, too. I mean, D.C. is not going to let them do it cheaply. My guess is this is just coming down to money, and they don't really care about the fan part, unfortunately. I think it's just coming down to, where can we get the most and the cheapest land to kind of build this thing? And that happens to probably be down in Dumfries and down in Woodbridge and all Potomac area.
But isn't that the new trend, though, is having stadiums not in the city that you are apparently supposed to be affiliated with?
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's weird because, yeah, we were talking about it on text. I mean, this isn't unprecedented. You know, you hear that Foxborough is a giant pain in the ass for people to get to for Patriots fans to get to. You know, where the Cowboys play over in Arlington is not in Dallas.
Santa Clara for the Niners.
Yeah, for the Niners. So it's like, it's not that this is unprecedented. It's just, like you said, it's just a pain. It's just a pain for the fan base that is in, you know, obviously in D.C. or in where, you know, Northern Virginia, where a large contingent of fans live. And you know, you're putting the stadium down in one of the worst highways is 95 with traffic. You know, there's always something going on to slow things down on 95, and this is would add to that. I can't even imagine. Now you're gonna have to worry about driving home from a trip if you're leaving on a Sunday and you're trying to drive back. You got to like time it right where you're not hitting all the game traffic leaving the Commander Stadium when that whatever that's built. I mean, obviously this is years and years away, but yeah, it's so tough. It's so tough because I want them to build that infrastructure and build that community. But I'm with you. I mean, if this thing was over in Sterling, we'd be so much happier because we'd be like, man, we can actually go to games. But being now, it's. I mean, you look at your GPS, and I did that today, and I was looking down in Dumfries and all that stuff, and it's like an hour. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, and that's an hour like in the middle of the day. If we're talking about game day traffic, add another hour onto that.
Imagine Monday Night Football. Imagine that.
Monday Night Football, you will have to leave at like 2 p.m.
noon
to maybe get there. And it's just because you're also talking about like just regular traffic, you know, work traffic and stuff. So, I mean, it's going to be bad regardless where, you know, as far as like there's always going to be traffic in this area and that area and all that stuff. But I'm trying to be positive about this, Mike, because I want them to do this right, like you said. I want them to build a dome. I want them to put some great restaurants and sports bars. I want them to make it a community. I don't know if I fully trust them to pull it all off. And whatever they do, we're not going to probably see a full. I mean, think about how long it took for Nats Park to actually turn into like the area around Nats Park to really be built into what it is now. I mean, when Nats Park first was built and was here, I mean, the area around the ballpark was pretty shady. I mean, it was one of those things where you didn't walk back to your parking lot at night. Like, you didn't leave in the sixth inning and walk alone to your car. And they really, like, gentrified the area, obviously, and they, like, built it up. And now Nats Park and the Wharf and all that stuff, I mean, it's pretty solid. I mean, there's a lot to do there. So with this stadium, I would just hope they would – it's going to take time, but I hope they would build it up into something. But I still say you and I are probably not going to ever see a game because who's going to drive down there?
Yeah, I think it's more so a one-time experience a year or something like that. You find a game against the, I don't know, the Bears or a game that's not like a NFC East rival or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Or like my idiot friend that said, hey, let's go to the Packers game, and that's the most expensive game on the list right now. Yeah. Those are the people that are just not plugged in. But I think honestly, if they did do it in Sterling, which, you know, if they did buy something there, okay, whatever it may be, but if you did it in Sterling, for instance, yes, you know, and this is hypothetical, you're right down the road from, you know, former Redskins Park, whatever it's called now. I don't think it's called Commander's Park. I don't know what it's called. Maybe it's just a park. You know, you're right down the road from the bubble. You can see it from Route 28. It's so easy to get to. Plus, it's right there off of the Old Ox exit, which, honestly, I'm right down the road from here. So technically you are, too, and you know that area growing up in Herndon very well. There's so many things to do in that one little area. I mean, you got sports bars left. I can name 10 sports bars that are within a five-mile radius of me, or maybe not a five-mile, maybe a five-minute radius of me. And it's like, you can go to these different bars. It'll build up that infrastructure, because that part of Herndon where that Old Ox kind of intersects, that part would need a little jump start. That little part of Herndon, and we've talked about it multiple times, certain areas, you know, and some I would say the Herndon, Virginia, like, persona, and then you look at, like, the Reston, Virginia persona, everyone thinks of Reston as, oh, Reston's Town Center, money, 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 you know, Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, bougie. Yeah, yeah.
But then you look at some parts of Reston, and it's not so great.
Yeah.
And then you think of Herndon, you're just like, oh, it's Reston's little brother. They suck. It's all the ghetto.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you see other parts of Herndon. You know, the part that I live in right now, because I'm technically Herndon, is a nice area. I mean, I got $650,000 condos across the street from me. So it's like, right, right. you're thinking about it, and I think that little part of Herndon could be built up more, and you could have more infrastructure there, and I'm not trying to kick out, you know, the lower income people, but at the same time, it's like that area could use a boost. You know, like the infrastructure there is old. It's broken down. I just think that if you had it there, you got the Silver Line, you got plenty of space. You could build a small little town there. And if you really wanted to have a community with residential living, there's space there that you can easily upgrade the residential living. And there's still tons of infrastructure being built around here. So I just think that, you know, that would be the more preferred choice. Obviously, it's right down the road, so it's like, oh, yeah, I'll walk to the game today or something like that. But it's just a totally different atmosphere, a totally different commute, a totally different, you know, landscape, if you will. If you build it in this area, then building it down on 95 where people are like, man, I just really don't want to be in traffic on my day off. Like, that's the thing. I think it's a lot of people's viewpoint is, you know, traffic sucks, especially around here. When you have to have traffic on a Sunday trying to go enjoy yourself for the day, that's just the worst. So I think that honestly, you know, and that's the biggest thing too, is trying to get out of FedEx Field. You have to sit there for like an hour and a half half the time.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I mean, that's the thing. It's like they're going to have to be – and I know – look, my guess is a lot of important people are thinking about all of these things and thinking about traffic and thinking about this and that. But it's just from a fan perspective, which is what this show is. It's like, man, all I want is a place with good parking. It's going to be tough to get out of any sort of stadium after a game. I'm not expecting it to be a breeze, but I don't want to be waiting in my car for 2 hours just to leave a parking lot. Like, that's insane. You know, you just want some food options, some bar options, and all that sort of stuff. And that's all we're looking for. We talked about this on the show. But it's funny. I know you said you were kind of joking, but it would be kind of cool if there was a stadium where, like, people, like, were walking to the stadium from the town. You know, like, that's, like a college football-type atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that would be awesome if they were able to cultivate almost like a college-type fandom where you've got the ability to just, you know, you pregame at your house and then you go walk to the field to the game and all that sort of stuff. And I just think – you would draw a lot of people, and a lot of people would love the fact that, hey, they don't have to go drive anywhere or things like that. Like, they can just walk to the stadium and all that.
That's a good point, because I do like that in the sense of – now, I didn't really think about that until you brought that up. But I do like it because, you know I'm a huge Virginia Tech fan. I'm a huge Tech fan, huge Hokie fan. So when I used to go to games, you know, it's so crazy to think about, because I would always love to see, like, a drone – at that time where you got people over at the Duck Pond area tailgating, you got people at this parking lot, you got people over on North Street or North Main Street, you know, at people's house, you know, hanging out pregame and stuff like that. And then you would just see within an hour of game time, just this mob. Like, it was like something from The Walking Dead where everyone's just walking towards the stadium. Like, that would be sick to see on TV, you know. That'd be so sick to see on Fox or something like that.
I mean, that's part of the things that people love about college football is, you know, you go down to, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, and the whole town shuts down for football games, and everybody's going to the game and everybody's walking to the game and all that sort of stuff. And, like, you can't, I mean, it just would be so cool to have that sort of atmosphere for a pro team, you know, because we don't have that with any of our teams. I mean, you don't really have that for now. I will say Nats Park, when they were bumping and making the playoffs and things like that, there was a little bit of that atmosphere because things were spread out a little bit. Like you said, there's the bullpen and there's all these different places where people would go and pregame, and then you'd have a good sea of people walking to the game, and you've got the people that are drumming on the sidewalks and stuff. And it's kind of a crazy atmosphere like that. I mean, it's a little different, obviously, because it's in the city. But, like, you know, that was always something. You don't really get anything much for Caps and Wiz because it's right there in downtown, you know, Chinatown and all that stuff. There's just so much other stuff
going on. You get off the metro, there's the front door.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, for football, I mean, you could just, if you did it right, it could just be such an experience and such an environment, which is all what they're trying to do. I mean, this is what they're trying to cultivate.
Yeah.
And you have a chance. You don't get that many chances to not necessarily start over, but to kind of, like, reinvigorate the audience and reinvigorate the fan base. And, like, obviously the rebranding with the Commanders and stuff is going on, and this will be the first season with that. So there's a lot of opportunity there, man. I just really hope they don't screw it up.
Well, that's the funny thing, too, is that I've been watching. So I watch like two or three guys on YouTube that do like abandoned series and, you know, stadium series and different things like that.
Right, yeah.
So there's one that I saw, I watched last night before bed, which was stadiums over the last decade plus, I guess you could say, that were demolished and teams moved. And it was funny to watch because, like, for instance, you look at the Raiders. The Raiders, I mean, the A's still are in this limbo. But the Raiders, yeah they did move to Vegas, which is honestly a really good move for them in general because there's already two LA teams, so you don't need another LA Raiders teams or anything like that. They moved to Vegas, brand new stadium, unbelievable stadium, right down the road from T-Mobile Arena. You know, you got a brand new fan base with the Raiders, still fans out in California. But the thing about it is they were playing on dirt and they were playing on a baseball field and this crappy field that the A's somehow are still playing on. And it's funny is they went there, they made this whole entire thing. They got the I don't know what it's called, the Eternal Flame or whatever it's called for Al Davis. I mean, it's so cool to see, and they did it right. And then you're looking at, for instance, the San Francisco Giants. They were playing on a crap field for so long. And then all of a sudden, now they went out to San Fran and they made it, you know, Covey Cove, baby. They got, I mean, it's an unbelievable stadium. You have a chance here to kind of reinvigorate? Is that the right word I'm thinking of?
Reinvigorate.
Sorry, I forgot the end part. Reinvigorate this fan base to kind of give us some hope. Like, man, we got the new house on the block here. You know, we got this new pretty thing, you know, the new girlfriend that's sitting right there next to you on the seat that everyone's looking at. And it's like everyone thinks that this team sucks. Everyone knows that this stadium sucks. Everyone knows that the owner sucks. There's so much, you know, I'll say it, so much ass surrounding this team that you think that maybe, and it's not the good ass, it's the bad ass.
Right.
And it's just a series of things that just keep going on and piling and piling and piling to the point where we need to see something good. And that's why I think even if they did it down on 95, it would be a good thing if they did it right.
But, as long as they do it right.
But
that's all we
care. Now the pressure, if they do it over there, is on. The pressure would be a little less if you had it in Northern Virginia because that's where the main fans are right now.
But, I agree with you. I think you're completely right. I think it's – you can put it down there, but you got to do it right. Like you said, it's got to be an absolute killer area. You got to put the restaurants there. You got to put the shops there. You got to make that happen, what you promised. They're talking about putting music venues there and all that sort of stuff. Like, all right, if that's what you're talking about. I know they didn't officially promise this just came from a source.
Right.
But, I mean, if they are going to do this right, then they have to, you know, they have to do those sorts of things that we're hearing rumors about. Otherwise, it's just a waste. If you just throw, a clunker of a stadium in the middle of nowhere, Southern Virginia, then it's like, what was the point of this?
Right.
Because then you're right. Then nobody has a reason to travel down there for that. So we'll see. I mean, any of this stuff is going to take years and years and years to happen. So, like, you know, it's not like this will be an overnight thing. It's not going to be next season. It's probably not for 5 more years or something. Like, I don't know. It takes a long time to build up stadiums and get them ready and all that stuff. But, man, it would be great if they did this right. And then think about this. You build a nice new stadium, they're going to host a Super Bowl for sure. I mean, that's how it works. When when you get a brand new stadium and it looks nice, the league wants to show it off. And that would be sick to have a Super Bowl hosted here, you know, that we're proud of what we're showing off with the stadium and all that. And that brings more money in the area because people go to the Super Bowl. So a lot of stuff to think about. And then, you know, before we, you know, move on, we did want to briefly talk about this Dan Snyder stuff. So it sounds like the report is that the owners around the league are starting to, according to the quote, is count votes and try to see, do they have the numbers to force Dan Snyder to sell the team? Mm-hmm. Right now, it would take 24 votes to force that sale. This is kind of what you and I talked about a while back, is my only concern about counting the votes is if there's one guy that knows where the bodies are buried, it's Dan Snyder for any of these owners. Yep. And that's what makes me always wonder that this guy's – it's gonna be like 23 votes. They don't get 24 or something like that. Like, I feel like this guy always wiggles out of things. I will believe it when I see it, when I see him being forced to sell a team. Otherwise, I'm going to continue to operate that Dan Snyder is the owner of this team. Like, that's how I'm going to operate.
75% is a lot of percentage for all the owners.
And you know, he's got, I mean, these are rich, he's got some rich friends, man.
Well, really, I mean, does. Well, the report of them counting votes, like legit counting votes, yeah, is, I mean, that's a serious report. Now, I don't know who
it is.
I don't know who said it, yeah, but I mean, the USA Today was the one who reported it. I don't know if they were the initial report, but I believe they were. But that's the thing. Someone must have said something to him, that reporter, and he ran right with it. Now, is he trying to get clickbait? Maybe. But counting votes, I mean, that's sending feelers out to the league and to the owners by, I don't know if it's Goodell or who, but that's something serious, though. That's a little bit more serious, where, you know, that's a little bit of a, you know, more than just a drip out of the faucet. That's kind of like turning that faucet just a tad more on, where now you got faster drips coming out, and we'll have to see whenever that faucet turns on full.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, I understand that it's definitely, you know, a possibility. But I just don't think I'll believe it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll believe it until I officially see it happen. So, I don't know. That guy just, he's a snake, man. He's a snake. He's able to get out of any sort of trouble.
Well, the funny thing is that all these random people online who have podcasts or whatever, they're right, always right, like, man, everyone hates Dan Snyder. Everyone hates Dan Snyder, man. We want him out. It's like, you live in North Alabama. I don't even know where.
Yeah,
like, you
yeah
live in some like random town. Like, you live in Arizona and you're like, man, we hate Dan Snyder. Like, do you really hate Dan Snyder? I didn't even know who Don Sterling was until he got sure kicked out. So it's like, sure, you know, sure, and you look at it. I don't look at owners, except for like maybe Mark Cuban, as being like anything serious. Like, you have Jerry right Jones, Mark Cuban, you know, Steve Ballmer with all his weird dance moves. You got some weird ones out there, but you don't sit there and say like, oh, Shad Khan, man, I hate that guy. You know,
yeah,
it's like
owners is, you're right. Like, you want the owner to not be a well-known guy.
Yeah.
Like, you want him to kind of be in the background, just like, hey, I'm just the rich guy that owns the team sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm with you. We aren't going to talk about the Wizards here today just because, like, all right, they got the 10th pick. We can do as many mocks as we want. But we will definitely get into that maybe, you know, later as we get closer to the draft. Maybe we'll have Chase Hughes on. We'll get into some of that another time. Let's hit up the final lap. A chance to go over some bigger stories in sports, and there were quite a lot. 90 seconds on the clock. Here we go. JT, Justin Thomas, wins his second PGA championship. He was 7 shots back to start the day, Mike.
Unbelievable for JT. I love JT, to be honest with you, but 7 shots back, that's a feat. That's a feat right there.
That's a hell of a comeback. Albert Pujols homers twice, and in the same game, Yadiel Molina pitches for the first time. In this one, I think they were up 14 runs or something. I mean, turn back the clock, Mike. Albert Pujols, 2 bombs?
What are they doing there? I just don't understand. Albert Pujols yeah is pitching this year. Yadiel Molina's, right, like, what is it, like a send-off? Like, hey,
what's
guys,
going on?
Do what you want to do here.
Mike's favorite player, Lucic, gets ejected after his hit against the Edmonton goalie, Mike.
I did see it. I didn't think it was that dirty. It was still dirty, but I don't think it was that dirty. But it's, I mean, it's like, come on now, dude. Like, now you got a bad rep because you just decked the goalie in the back.
Yeah, you can't touch the goalie, just like the quarterback. Can't touch the QB. This was a crazy one. Man City wins the Premier League with 2 goals in the last 20 minutes. I mean, Wolverhampton had the lead. This thing was looking like this was going to go their way, and Man City's season was going to be, you know, they weren't going to win the Premier League. And, I mean, it was just crazy.
Was it Wolverhampton? I thought it was Aston Villa.
Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, you're right. It was AV.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was mixing up my Premier League.
I thought it was kind of crazy because then I went back and looked at the stats, and they were literally, yeah, I think if they drew, they would have lost, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe they would have lost. I forgot what it was, but it was crazy.
It was probably because it was the multiple legs, so it was like, right, it was already a, yeah, I just saw the highlights of this one, and it was just like unbelievable. And then Mike's favorite soccer player, Mbappe, decided against going to Real Madrid, and he's going to be staying in Paris Saint-Germain until 2025.
Now, at one point, I was like, man, what an idiot move. But now I'm kind of thinking, that's not a terrible move for him because, number one, he's cashing in with PSG, yeah, but he's only cashing in for 3 years. And apparently, I think he's making about $100 million a year, which is pretty crazy. They basically sold the franchise, the club, whatever you want to call it, to him because he has say in the managerial, the player, all these additions, they have to go through Kylian Mbappe. And that's the problem, is that they just literally sold the club to him and also are paying him. That's how desperate they were. And it's kind of crazy. But you're looking at it, 2025, he's going to be like, what, 26 years old? And then he'll go to Real Madrid. Just watch.
Yeah, and that final was 3-2. Man City beat Aston Villa, like you said. I was thinking, for some reason, Wolverhampton was on my mind. And also, shout out to my boys, the Sunderland Black Cats. Promotion,
ooh,
baby.
Black Cats.
We're going up to the championship, one below Premier League.
Sounds like our old school CFL teams.
There you go. They're going to get up there, man. They're going to get up to Premier. They're going to get this season. It would be crazy if they did get promoted again. I mean, it's not going to happen, but you never know. Let's do a little bit of trivia here. It is the segment that is taking over the nation. It is Mike Cerrone Trivia Corner here, a chance to give a DC sports trivia question and a Detroit sports trivia question. I will let you go first, Mike.
So I've been, obviously, on TikTok, I've been cornering the DC because obviously we are the DC crossover. But I do like it.
Yeah, that's smart.
I did it with the Detroit and it didn't get a lot of hits. And then I did the DC and now it's all of a sudden getting
hits. Nobody cares about Detroit. I can ask a question.
But I do like getting the questions because it's actually test my knowledge. See if I'm on my on my game. So here we go. I had to go through a few cards of this because a lot of them were like the 60s questions and no one cares about that.
Oh, God.
Here we go. In 2004, the Redskins used a third-round pick on what player who finished his career as the franchise leader for receptions by a tight end?
2004? I mean, is it too obvious for this to be a man whose first and last name start with the same letter?
too obvious?
That's my question. Does this person's first name and last name start with the same letter?
They could.
Yeah, it's Chris Cooley. It's got to be cool.
Yes, sir. It's pretty.
No,
it's pretty obvious.
I appreciate that because I feel like I've gotten like every question wrong in the last like month. So thank you for giving me one I could.
The funny thing is, when we started this, you had like five right in a row,
I was on five.
And then you had like 25 wrong in a row. Now.
Oh yeah, I've been so bad.
A little tough though. Not that one.
That question?
No, the ones previous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So let's see if you get this. Let's see if you remember that who this was. So despite posting a winning record in three of his four seasons as head coach of the Lions and making the playoffs in two, who was fired and replaced by Matt Patricia?
That was Jim Caldwell.
Jim Caldwell is correct. Good job. Wasn't sure if you could remember. All
three birds.
There, who,
flying away with the flock, man.
Yeah, there you go. This is one I wouldn't ask, but it's like so obvious. It's like, what nickname did Lions receiver Roy Williams give to teammate Calvin Johnson because of his size and ability? It's right. Like everybody knows Megatron.
Right.
That's a stupid question.
Hey, that Jim Caldwell, nice pull though. Jim Caldwell is like
most.
Solid. Isn't he the? Did he get the Texans job?
God, I don't know where he is now, but yeah, I mean, he made the playoffs twice with the freaking Lions, and he loses
his
job.
I thought he was getting interviewed for a job this year, but I thought he got the Texans job. And that might have been Lovie Smith, but I'm trying to think of Jim Caldwell. Where did he go? He went somewhere.
Yeah, let's see where he is now.
But he did do well with the Colts too, and then he got fired from there. Like, no one likes this guy. I just don't understand it.
So he, yeah, I could have sworn that he got hired by somebody, but. I guess.
It could be for a coordinator job or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that for a fact he was getting interviewed by teams. But I think Lovie Smith was actually the Texans now that I think about it.
Yeah, because he was a Dolphins assistant head coach and QB coach in 2019, and that's the last thing I have for him. So let's see. So he interviewed to be head coach of the Jags. He interviewed to be head coach at the Bears. So basically, yeah, he hasn't been he hasn't been hired as a head coach. So, and he's part of the, like, he's an example that Brian Flores gives about the, like, the racial discrimination stuff. So, I don't know. But Caldwell was great here in Detroit. I mean, he honestly was. I mean, you think about the fact that, like, he actually got them to the playoffs, and look how far they fell after that.
Under Patricia,
who
great guy.
One of the worst coaches, I think, to ever coach in the NFL, like, as a head coach. Like, I'm sure he's great under frickin' Belichick and doing his thing. He's back over there now.
Who's worse, him or Adam Gase?
Oh, that's a good question. I would put Patricia lost the locker room in his like first week. I mean, like, he was so bad. He was terrible. He had a stupid pencil in his ear, and the guy's like 500 pounds, and it's just like, ugh, you disgust me. Hated that guy.
Gotcha. Okay, now we know.
Let's move on to the money line. Chance for you to win money from our picks, or lose a lot.
17 and 31 combined.
Yeah, it has not been great. Mike's beating me about 3 points right now. So as bad as I've been, it's not like you're lighting the world on fire.
I went 0-2 this week. It was not good. 0-2.
Not a great week. But I expect you to get back to it. Mike's like a good 500 and a little plus type better. So I expect you to get back there. A couple picks here. I got a lock and a dog. We'll go with my lock. I'm going to say Celtics minus 6.5 against the Heat. I don't love that being 6.5. I really wish it was like, 2.5 or 3.5. But I'll take it. I'll take the 6.5 against the Heat. And then my dog, I'll go Canes plus 1.5 over the Rangers. This is kind of a crapshoot for me. But, I mean, I hate, with the hockey lines, I hate the 1.5. But, I'll work with it. So, yeah, Canes plus 1.5 over the Rangers as my dog.
Not a bad one, not a bad one. So my lock, I'm going to stick. I mean, I'm going to go with Luka. I mean, Luka has been playing pretty well against the Warriors.
I saw this game, too. I thought about it. Yeah.
It's, I mean, they're favored, but I think they're just gifting them a favor in this one. They probably should be underdogs in this sense because the Warriors have just been demolishing them in 2 of the 3 games. But the Mavs, I got them -1 against the Warriors in Dallas. I mean, they're probably going to lose no matter what when it comes to the series. Let's be honest here. But overall, -1 versus the Warriors. I lost the first game, so that was my lock last week, and that one lost. So my dogs, Panthers, +1.5 over the Lightning. Right now, in game 4 tonight, as we record this, the Lightning are favorited, and they are up 3-0 in the series, mainly because they are in Tampa Bay. But I think the Panthers throw everything but the kitchen sink at them. The Panthers have sucked all series, which I believe that's what was going to happen. I think the Caps will give the Lightning a much better series, but that's just me. They had just been awful. I mean, they have been totally awful. I mean, they've scored 3 goals in 3 games, and the Lightning have outscored them by 8 goals, and 2 of those were in Florida. So, honestly, Lightning are easily going to win this series, but I think the Panthers, if they lose, it might be by 1 goal. But I think the Panthers take this one, and the Lightning take game 5.
Those are our picks. They're sponsored by DraftKings. I mean, it's one of those weird things, like the stupid Amaze Media Labs thing that we're like part of and not a part of. I mean, these guys freaking were like, hey, guys, we got a partnership with DraftKings. We're going to have you do a commercial every show for DraftKings, and you're going to do it, and you're going to send it to us, and we're going to give you money. We did it for like a year, and then we never saw a dime, and now we're not doing it. I mean, like, it's just like everybody, the Contender, Amazed Media Labs, it's like, who are all these guys? They always come in, and they promise us the world, and then nothing ever happens. Like, nothing ever changes. Like, we did ad after ad for stupid DraftKings. I would do in like every night, every show. And then like I would send it to him, and it was never like, all right, guys, here's your check for whatever. It was always like, all right, thanks for the ad. It's like, so we're just doing free ads for 10 months, and we never saw a single dime from that.
I think it's kind of weird as well, because we were on a high. I mean, the highest of horses. We were on Seabiscuit and Secretariat, like War Admiral. We were on these high horses that were going crazy, and all of a sudden, after a month, we were like, man, this is awesome, man. Everyone's reaching out to us.
Yeah, we were getting calls left and right. They're like, hey, come join this thing. Hey, can we put your podcast on this thing? And we were like, yeah, we'll take the meeting with this person and this person. Yeah. And it's like, all right, here we are, back to where we were before all that.
Well, the only one, let's be honest here, the only one that's been a steady Eddie right here is Erica McCall. So,
100%. Yeah, I'm not putting her in the category of nothing, because she's been awesome. And we've enjoyed that, because that's like kind of been a side project for us, like producing her show, and that's been great. It's just all these other clowns that just like
you think,
reach out to us and nothing happens.
You think that that company, they have all these podcasts, and they're just like, hey, just join us. And then all of a sudden they have like this plethora of podcasts just like thrown into one vault. And then they're like, oh, DraftKings, look at all the podcasts we got.
That's what it is.
And then they get 10 grand, and then they just pocket it.
Yeah, 100%. Because it was like, all right, we know, I know our podcast doesn't do insane numbers, but like, we deserve like at least $5. Can you throw us like $5? Like, why are we getting nothing? Like, we have downloads. Like, look, everybody, like, the show isn't, you know, obviously it's not on the top of the charts or anything, but we do well. We got a nice dedicated audience, and it's like, what's going on? They had us like migrate our podcast over to this whole other host and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
We actually went away from what would have probably made us money right now, which is Anchor. we went away to the stupid Megaphone, and we haven't seen a dime. It's just, it's what grinds my gears, Mike. It's like, everybody, here's my lesson to the everybody listening to the show.
Yeah,
like,
grind it.
Everybody will come in and promise you the world, and just know that, like, you know, you got to just like wait and see what happens before you get too excited. Because yeah. like, Mike and I have been doing this a long time. We talked to a lot of different people. We've had some exciting opportunities. And, you know, it is what it is. We're right back here where we started, doing shows in our bedroom. So, yeah, doing the Sultan of Seltzer.
The Sultan of Seltzer.
Well, hey, I'll tell you, that could take segment. Off. You should,
hey,
you should get that handle or something on, like, TikTok.
Sultan of Seltzies.
And just do Seltzer's reviews.
Is Seltzies annoying?
Like, Seltzies?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not annoyed by it. It doesn't bother me, but if you said it like 100 times, I might get annoyed.
I only started it last week, and I started saying it, and I was like, man, that kind of sounds
thing.
Kind of sounds weird.
Yeah, it does sound a little weird. I'd say I'd like only break it out every now and then.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah. Well, we say numbies. Numbies is fun.
Yeah, numbies is great. Numbies is awesome.
Well, that's the thing. Hey, if DraftKings wants to kick rocks down the road, go kick rocks down the road. We'll get right. Woo Boy as the money line sponsor.
I had Woo Boy for lunch today.
Man, we need it. We really need to get these numbies because really I'm telling you.
I almost have Woo Boy not once a week, but I mean, like, lately it's been like once every couple weeks. I'm like, because I only work from home a couple days out of the week. And so one of those days sometimes I'm home and I'm like, man, you would be great right now. Nice little Woo Boy chicken sandwich, some fries, for lunch. It would be, that's what I did today. And never disappoints, I'll tell you. Jeez. You know who will never disappoint me is Woo Boy. Woo Boy will never, ever disappoint
Who's
me.
Who's boy? So. Woo's boy.
Woo's boy. Yeah, our boy. Our boy, Woo Boy. That about does it for this episode. I know we kind of went off on a tangent there, but hey, this is just a preview for what the offseason will bring.
This is the offseason, baby.
Starting next week, it's just going to be Mike and I just BSing about everything. So look forward to that. Thank you again, Erica McCall, for joining us on the show at the top of the show. Again, follow her on Twitter at @OneBirdsEyeView and at @BirdsTheWords_24. That's for the show account and for Erica's account.
That's not sponsored by Three Birds, by the way.
Not sponsored. No, 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 but we are.
We have one bird. Bird is the word. Yeah.
Bird is the word. Birds Eye Views, the show, True Stories of Professional Basketball. Go download it. Check it out. New episode drops on Wednesday. Follow our show accounts, as I mentioned, at the DC Crossover and at Cerrone16. Follow the TikTok DC Crossover podcast. And yeah, that about does it. So look forward to the off season starts next week. So for those who've been longtime fans of the show and, you know, enjoy Mike and I when we talk about non-sports things, get ready for a lot of that because the Nats suck. We're not talking about their butts, so that's for sure. I was going to say their, well, I can say ass. They're ass. We're not talking about them.
I said it earlier. I said a mountain of ass. Or the badass.
Yeah, there you go. That is Mike Cerrone. I'm Ben Simpson. We will see you next time. This has been another episode of the DC Crossover.